It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Awesome. Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Normally, David Locke joins us during this time, but David has to join us at about 11:30 today. So we'll move up good, bad, the ugly.
Well, Scotty, the good is very good today if you're a Denver Broncos fan, because the Aaron Rodgers to Denver topic is
heating up. You're going to want to hear this.
It's really heating up. Denver Broncos are definitely in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstake. That's if Green Bay makes him available.
Come on, Green Bay. Let him go.
And I've got to imagine at this point this thing has gotten so toxic on both sides. This is according to James Palmer of the NFL Network. He said it is a real, and I quote, real possibility Rodgers ends up with the Broncos if they find a way to get this deal done. And, Scotty, you know more about the cap space of the Broncos than I do, but they're one of only, I think, two or three teams in the NFL that could actually pull this off.
And the thing about this, and I knew Denver was in a good spot salary cap-wise. I didn't know it was this good. The second most salary cap space available in the league, only behind Jacksonville. They're $25 million under the cap. So they can take on that salary and not have to unload a huge contract to get there. And so they're in a really good spot salary cap space-wise. And frankly, I don't care if you give up the next three first round picks. Get him.
Justin Fields is on the board at nine.
Denver goes a different direction and goes defense. Lloyd,
come on over to the Raiders, my man.
Let's go.
Yeah, why are you so excited about this? This could hurt your Raiders.
No, because
that's been the Broncos for the better part of 6 years now. Is quite honestly, they're pretty lame.
Yeah, I think he speaks for all of us.
This could really hurt your Raiders.
I hadn't heard that one. Okay, all right. But Lloyd gave me an out, though. If they got Aaron Rodgers, he'd let me come back.
That's true. That's true. Aaron Rodgers, you are our only hope.
You are my only hope. Outside of just ignoring everything and just keeping on.
Hey, have you noticed that the whole QB situation in Houston has just fallen off the face of the earth?
I was kind of curious. I saw something pop up about Deshaun Watson yesterday. I'm like, that's kind of gotten really quiet.
Yeah, what even happened? Like Aaron Rodgers, this whole Aaron Rodgers thing popped up, and it was like all of a sudden the sexual assaults and the allegations and whatever was going on with Watson, it's just ESPN's like wadded it up and throwing it away. Every other major sporting publication is wadded up and thrown away. I haven't heard anything about it since Aaron Rodgers has had this back and forth with his front office.
I mean, I certainly hope it means that, you know, that I don't want to say it's gone away, because if there's victims involved, you want their voices to be heard and you want justice to be served in that regard. I just don't know why it's gotten so quiet.
Me neither.
Vinny Iyer is going to join us coming up a little bit later on from the Sporting News, and maybe we'll chat with him about if there's any updates on that, or if, you know, what the latest status is, because
makes you wonder if he's paying off some of these accusers.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know.
Because things are getting real quiet.
Yeah. All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
This whole situation and this back and forth has been really strange. And Scotty, it just goes to the facts that you can't have fun anymore. And I don't think Bazemore was trying to be malicious, but I'm sure a lot of people at this point have heard kind of the back and forth with what's going on with Bazemore of the Golden State Warriors and Bill with Washington and the scoring race that's going on. So Steph Curry is like 0.2 or 0.3 in front of Bill right now in this NBA scoring race. And for some reason, it's become a point that Steph Curry wants to win his scoring title this year. And Bazemore came forward, and this was his comment. He said, you don't know, he said essentially, let me pull up his exact comments. I don't want to misquote him here, Scotty. He said, 49 points in 29 minutes. That is unreal. Then we got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up with Steph. So y'all got to do some research on that. Now, obviously, he's talking about Bradley Beal straining his hamstring in the back part of regulation before overtime and then sitting out last night trying to get that scoring title. This is so harmless. This just needs to look at and listen to and say, I don't even care he's talking about my hamstring. I don't give two craps. I don't care. Even if I am worried about the scoring title, I don't care enough to let this guy get under my skin. But Bill then goes on this crazy Instagram rampage and then earlier today had these comments.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the last part of the comment. The first half of it about what Steph was doing was, I'm with you. 49 and 29 minutes is, I think everybody in here can agree that that's remarkable and truly amazing, right? So nobody's arguing that. But I didn't mention you. My hamstrings have nothing to do with why I go out there and play the game. And for me to injure my hamstring and then you kind of make a joke about it, I don't take that too fondly, honestly, because I take pride in being somebody who, my first 4 years, I was always labeled as an injury-prone guy. I was always labeled as somebody who couldn't stay on the floor. So I take pride in my body. I take pride in being on the floor and being available for my team and giving my team the best chance to win. My main focus is getting us to the playoffs, and that's all I'm focused on. And so that was just all I was just trying to kind of get my point across. So just keep your situation over there. Let's just keep it hoops. Don't make fun of something that's not funny.
How about you take pride in not letting somebody else affect you? How about you do that? How about you take pride in the fact you're the Bazemore?
Yeah.
And let that rest on you. How about you take pride in the fact that somebody else is laughing off your injury? That, you know, maybe karma gets them. At some point, it's going to get to them. How about you take pride in not letting and having thicker skin? It's so stupid to even let this slightly affect your mood.
So I'm going to butcher this analogy here, and Lloyd, you need to help me out because I cannot remember who the pitcher was or who the hitter was, but there was a guy, a pitcher who gave up a home run. Guy did a big bat flip, which usually ticks everybody off and everybody loses their mind about it. And the pitcher was like, after the game, was like, hey, look, when I strike him out, I try to make him look like a clown and I try to have some fun at his expense. And he got me and he got the best of me. If he wants to flip a bat, so be it. It's fun for the game. It doesn't bother me. I know it's part of the game. I know he's celebrating a big accomplishment. And just know that when I strike him out next time, I'm going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. So, have some fun then.
But it's fun for the game. These unwritten rules, if you can't do this or you can't say this, let guys have some fun. And if you're too thin-skinned for it, then you might want to do something else with your life.
How often do you see a pitcher
really
when they take
it
when they strike somebody out, they you know, big out, whatever, and they just pump their fists in excitement. Yeah, they don't have a bat. They don't have a bat to flip, but yeah, they start pumping their fist, and you know, it's harmless.
Let's have some fun. You know, if he made a joke about a guy, you know, he's like, wow, you know, Steph's out there ripping up hamstrings. Okay, you're fine. You're still playing. Let's calm it down a little bit.
I can't believe that anybody would let this affect. I can't believe a high-level athlete would let this affect their day.
And I know Bazemore's a pro, but he's not even in the same stratosphere as Bradley Beal.
No.
Why are you getting so concerned about that?
And all he's doing is backing his teammate.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, look, Steph's the scoring leader. How are you going to let this even affect you? And by the way, if you haven't seen Beal go off on his Instagram, he went off, and then Beal's wife added in.
Oh, jeez.
And Beal's wife sent out something with what's that, Mortal Kombat? The guy that's kicking in and it says finish him.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, getting in on the action. It's like, stop this. It's stupid. And then Bazemore has since released a comment. He said they were asking about Bill's response to this. He said, I don't know, man. I don't think I would have reacted that way, but to each their own. He's a great player. Played against him for a long time. He's been getting better every year, so I wish him a speedy recovery. I hope that helps.
Which is how I would have responded as well. It's just like, really? That got under his skin?
I would sit there in disbelief. Like, you're really that thin-skinned? Like, you're that good at basketball, and that set you off? To me, Bill's the clown. To me, Bill's the weak-minded one.
Yeah.
It's not Bazemore. Bazemore just like, hey, man, we got guys trying – they're tearing hamstrings trying to keep up with Steph. So what? Gosh, why do we got to get all bent sideways on things that people say nowadays? Like everything. Hey, Bill, let it just go off your back like water's off a duck back. It doesn't – it does not hurt you. It does not affect you. Bazemore is not on your heels for any scoring title. Curry obviously is going to beat you in the scoring title. Maybe it's because he's that upset about being beat by Steph Curry in the scoring title.
Yeah, well, look, Bradley Beal's been a great player in this league for a long time, but maybe there's a reason they haven't won a lot of games there.
Yeah. Thin-skinned.
It's a little surprising. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
So, okay, this may not really resonate as an ugly, and it's a really big accomplishment. We talked about last week or so about commencement addresses and how Donovan Mitchell had the commencement address at the University of Utah. Well, Wake Forest University, you know, nice, really good school, highly thought of.
Academically?
Academically.
Yep.
Maybe not athletically.
Nope.
But academically,
yep.
Sure. Their commencement, they actually have three commencement address speakers this year. Condoleezza Rice is one. Okay?
Okay.
Carries a little bit of weight.
Yep.
Pete Buttigieg is another one.
All right.
The third one, speaking on overcoming adversity. The player who played one game at quarterback after being a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, Kendall Hinton, who was forced into playing after the whole quarterback room got knocked out with COVID. Why does he get to speak about overcoming adversity? Kendall Hinton played at Wake Forest. He's an alum. But what is he?
Scotty.
He sucked and the Broncos lost.
Oh, no. I'm going to disagree with you on this.
Wow.
I'm going to disagree with you on this.
Like, if he would have won the game, had he had some – remarkable, like he went out and went 20 of 27 passing for three touchdowns and 300 yards, then you get a speak at commencement address.
How many passes did he throw in that game? Six?
Tim, do you remember Kendall Hinton in that game for the Broncos?
The one where the Broncos didn't have a quarterback, so they played a receiver?
He had to step in as the QB, Scotty. You didn't have a quarterback.
And he sucked.
No,
so
hold
what?
On. I'm going to completely disagree with
wow.
The other. That is a very, very unique experience that not many people go through. I mean, he's
okay.
A wide receiver, and they came to him to be a quarterback in a week's time.
Here's his stat line. 1 of 9 passing. That's an 11% completion percentage. Zero touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 13 passing yards.
And what was the final score?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They lost.
I thought it was on there. It was – here's the deal. That is an incredible story.
There's nothing incredible about that story.
Okay, I'll put it this way. If I'm a Wake Forestian and I'm sitting in that graduation.
I'd be embarrassed of it.
There's
too.
One talk I'd be interested to hear.
It's like, I think he went to NC State. He didn't go to Wake Forest.
Why do you hate on this guy so bad?
Where'd he go? Wake Forest. He didn't go to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Why are you hating on this guy so bad? He's a good guy. He went through a lot.
And didn't and play poorly.
Okay. Oh, man.
So there you go. Good, bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets clean. $33 per room. Call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. All right. You finally got him over here.
I know. We got Talmadge here. We got the fifth generation here. So throw something at him.
No pressure there. Five generations, man.
Yeah, I know.
So does Dad look at you? How often do you deal with senior? Does he come over? He's like, hey, look, grandson, you're not going to mess this up.
No, I've actually never heard that from him.
Oh, really? Did that ever come your way, Tim? Did you ever have to have that talk with senior?
No, you know, it's actually kind of a cool story because he was just more – my great-grandpa and grandpa were really raw large, and we kind of shrunk a little bit. My dad was just a smaller company when I became partners, and so it was just kind of like – he just said, if you want part of this business, you got to go grow it. Uh-huh. So that was kind of how we grew it. And so, yeah.
So, Thomas, you've got a certain set of responsibilities, man. Like, there's a high reputation that's attached to this. What kinds of things do you do to carry that reputation?
I just try to avoid talking as much as he does and play more of seniors part of it.
Is that what it is?
You're more behind the scenes guy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Talmadge's focus is getting his body ready to play this fall. But we just, you know, he comes and works in the summer and does a lot of stuff where he can.
You excited to go down to Southern Utah?
I'm really excited.
Love Cedar City, man. It's a beautiful setting. Tell me a little bit about DeMar Warren, Coach Warren.
Honestly, I really haven't talked to him all that much, really, because when I went down, I was only there for a couple months, and it was just player-run practices and the weight room, and Coach Warren wasn't there too much. So I only talked to him when I told him that my season was over, and then they decided to send me home. So I didn't really get to speak to him that much.
What was, dealing with, you know, missions and COVID and trying to play? I mean, what's this last year been like for you? Because a lot of people that know the high school scene, football scene, they know you well because you did some incredible things at the high school level.
Yeah, I just, through missions, like, I was really lucky that I had my running back coach at SUU, Coach Elliott, he served a mission, and so he was really, really supportive of me. And luckily, the whole staff at SUU was, too. But just through COVID, I mean, all it really changes is you just don't get to be around the team as much while you're in the off season, which is a little hard. But, I mean, through the end of it, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, we went down to games, and normally, you know, they have the gray shirts, the red shirts, the recruits, whoever, go down and sit on the sidelines. And Talmadge had to sit in the stands this spring season. He couldn't even go down and visit with them at all.
The whole thing feels weird, doesn't it? I want people to come by and, you know, whether it's the fifth generation with Talmadge or the fourth generation with Tim, I want you to understand that this company stands for something, and that's important. You talk about how long this has been around.
No, it's good, and I think it's good to even, you know, we're not talking about siding, but it's good to have someone like Talmadge on. It just shows that we're here, we're going around. Caden's other brother, Brownie's here somewhere, too, videoing and pictures. But, you know, we're a family business. We've been around a long time. So, you know, it's not like we're one and done. We want to take care of our customers for another five.
I would suggest anybody that's interested to maybe get some siding done on their home, come by. Just stop in. You know, this is the open house, and we've got drinks, and we've got jazz gear, and we got RGS gear that's sitting over here, and it's just an opportunity. You got a food truck, come out, grab some lunch. That's grab some Utah Jazz gear, and if you're thinking about putting new siding on, whether it's new gutters or softener fascia or throwing some stone on the front of the house to try to pep it up a little bit, come out and just talk to the guys out here.
We love it. You know, anything we can do to help. And even just like with Hands Off the Air, you know, he's found a product he wants to do on a home he's building. It's just anything you can come up or think. Listen, let's see if we can make it work.
I think that's awesome, too. A lot of people come in and say, look, this is where my budget is. What can we do?
That's right. Well, and I'll be honest with you, that we'll just kind of walk them through and say, hey, look, here's what you really want. Here's what your budget's going to allow. So we can either pare it down, reverse engineer it, and make it fit their budget, and or let's get some financing so that we can meet their budget. Whatever works, up, down, we just want to make it happen.
I love it. Come down here. RGS Exteriors right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's their big open house, so make sure to come by and check it out. We got the food truck rocking right now. I've seen a lot of people working down those tacos. 4235 Farm Road. Let's go. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
We've got little, like, sayings or jokes within the team. Coach comes up with some crazy-ass name for, like, everything. There was one day that I'm assuming it was after we had, like, 30 turnovers and he was probably losing his mind and was 15 coffees deep at 5 a.m. and hadn't slept, and he came in talking about throwing strikes. We'll be scripting through some offense, going through what we want to run for the next game, and if you don't throw a strike and it's a bad pass, coach is making that group go again and redo the whole play or set or whatever we're doing. We do take pride as a team on those little details, and I think it makes a difference. You can roll your eyes sometimes thinking coach is a little crazy, but he knows what he's talking about.
Oh yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for our weekly conversation with the man himself, David Locke. Brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group. David, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Gorgeous day. Fun things to do. Don't know what they are, but they're going to be there.
But they're there.
They're there.
We live in the
mecca of fun things to do.
I know. And we're out here doing a remote outside here at RGS Exteriors. Can't ask for a better day. There's no doubt about it. At what point in the fourth quarter do you think the Jazz had a chance to come back and win that thing?
I think it was we get to 10. Well, I mean, I'm so analytical based. I know that you have a 1% chance and you're down 18. And actually that's what happens, right? Even though you had the lead, it only takes one play or two plays to go in the wrong direction to swing it. But I think there was a moment where didn't we get to 10 with 5 minutes left or something like that? And I was whoa, yeah. If we get a stop in a bucket, right? I think on the air, I said, whoa, we get a stop in a bucket right now. We got a ball game. But there was even as we did that, there was the stunner to me was I think we were down. I'll have to check it, but I think we were down 5 or 6 with 2 minutes left. And we were down 112-105 with 3 minutes left. And 7 minutes in 3 minutes is kind of unheard of. And then even Clarkson hits a shot, and then you're okay, well, we're down 5 with 220 left. And you're okay, maybe. But I think it was when Boyan hit his shot and we went to, it was about 5 minutes left. I think it was about one. O'Neal hits the three and it's 110-101. We trade baskets and now it's 4 minutes left. And you're thinking maybe, but we don't score for a few possessions there actually after that. I think that might have been the sequence where we had all the threes that didn't go. And so it still just felt like, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look at it, but I think we were down 8 or 9 with 3 minutes left still. So it didn't, I don't know. Maybe not until Jordan Clarkson actually put us ahead there for a second did I actually, oh my gosh, holy cow, we're going to pull this thing off or have a chance to.
Hey, David, walk us through that final possession. So you got just over 5 seconds left on the clock. You're down by 3. At that point, Golden State's wanting to foul, right? Put him on the line for 2. And Clarkson gets that corner 3 off. Kind of walk us through. Is that how the Jazz wanted that to go down? Obviously, they wanted that shot to fall. But walk us through those final 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think because they have the ability to foul, you have to run a play in which someone's catching the ball and immediately letting it fly. And so, yeah, I think that's the answer. I don't know how they did it, but they got Jordan open in one motion, got him shooting. So, I mean, I think they just did on a pure sprint to the corner. It's actually not an easy shot from the top. We've seen Boyan make that shot against Houston on a similar inbound from the side. I think they got what they wanted. I mean, your chances, your win probability was down 3 with 5 seconds left is probably 3%, maybe 4%. You're on the wrong side of the game at that point. Maybe not. Maybe it's higher. I don't think. I think you're in a pretty low opportunity to win at that point.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Jordan Clarkson. It's funny because you watch Twitter as you're going through a game, and I know you're dialed in. The cries to Jordan Clarkson to stop shooting in the first half to, oh my gosh, Jordan Clarkson's going to win us this game in the fourth quarter. I think the swings of the emotions regarding Jordan Clarkson are pretty amusing to watch because that's who he is. And you love him for it.
I mean, that was the Jordan Clarkson experience, in its grandest form. And the essence of what Quinn Snyder has built for him. Right. Quinn has given him this amazing freedom to do whatever, to just play. And Kristen Kenny wrote a story on 0-0, which is kind of this music background that he's gotten into. And there's some music term that kind of means to be in the flow without thinking. And that's why that's his number. And that's what Quinn's created with him is this just incredible freedom to do whatever he needs to do. And, I wouldn't have had the wherewithal as a player to keep shooting or as a coach to let him keep shooting at that point, right? He really had as bad a first half of basketball as I've ever seen Jordan Clarkson have and I've never seen him be better. So the Jordan Clarkson experience is a unique one, but he went to each side of the pendulum at the furthest level than he's ever gone before last night. Because the first half, I think his usage rate was 50, which is insane, even for someone who, like, shoots a lot. I mean, and then he wasn't good while having a usage rate at 50, which is not great. And then all of a sudden, he was the one. Now, you know, I do think there's we have to understand the circumstances, right? Mike and Don are our number one and two possession users. They're not on the floor anymore. It's been a long time. Like, we've gotten used to it as fans, but for the players, it's a long time that this has been going on, and they're getting worn out by it because everyone's taking a larger role, and the rightful order of the basketball universe has gotten reformed for them, but it's still not right. And so, you know, Joe's kind of, I thought, you know, looked a little bit out of sorts last night. I can't imagine why. He's only been guarded by, you know, Mikal Bridges, DeJounte Murray, and every other best defender in the world that can OG Anunoby guarding him every time he brings the ball up the floor for 32 minutes a night right now. And so Clarkson, I think, probably was feeling that burden a little bit last night, and so then he's off. Though his comment afterwards is interesting, that my looks in the first half were way better than my second. I mean, there were some things he did. They were forcing him. Ron Boone picked it up on the broadcast that they would just not let him get right under any circumstance, which is very playoff-esque, or when you suddenly are the top player on the scouting report, which he's usually not. And then he's also now being guarded by better defenders who can execute their plan, which is new for him. So there's just so many elements to this of where the Jazz are right now, which is that they're battling their beep off very shorthanded for a very long period of time and with a real chance to maintain that number one seed, which is pretty incredible.
So I was watching this game last night, and at halftime I flipped over for some national analysis, and there were two former NBA players that were talking about Steph Curry, and one of them said, "This is the best Steph Curry we've seen in his career." You've watched Steph for a lot of years. Is this the best Steph Curry has been, has looked, has played?
So I believe the Steph Curry 15-16 season is the greatest individual offensive season in the history of the game. I'm pretty comfortable with that. So I can't say this is the best Steph Curry I've ever seen.
Okay.
But that is not that is not in disrespect to Steph Curry. That's only because I think Steph Curry broke the game in 15-16. Like forever.
How much of that had to do with what was around him in that season as compared to what's around him now?
15-16 is just really the big difference is Clay and Andre Iguodala, right? It's 15-16 is not Durant yet. This is not nearly as good a team as, I mean, thank goodness for Andrew Wiggins last night because we need to stay in the game. Yeah, I mean, this team's not nearly as good as that team. I think, okay, so here are the hands to kind of more directly answer your question. I think Steph is stronger today than he was then. I think his endurance is superior to it was then. I think he's probably, you know, obviously more experienced and has seen everything more. But in 15-16, he took 11 threes a game before, like, anyone figured that out. You know, he was taking 55 to 60% of his shots as threes and he made 45% of them. Like, it's the greatest single shooting season in the history of the game. He also grabbed 5 rebounds and dished out 7 assists that year. And despite Draymond Green's comment last night that sometimes guys who lead the league in steals are not good defenders, he led the league in steals that year. Like, it's maybe the greatest season I've, like, ever seen. He's really, really good right now, though, and he bends the game and transforms the game in a manner that makes it impossible to defend the Warriors. Like, you literally have to defend him in a manner where you're allowed to give up backdoor layups every now and then to other guys, or else if you decide you're not giving up backdoor layups, you can't guard Steph Curry. Like, that's crazy, but that's what he does to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, Hans and I were talking about this earlier. Sometimes it's better to take your chances guarding 3 guys guarding 4 than letting Steph getting opportunities.
Right, 100%. I mean, you double Steph off the pick and roll. Draymond averages 9 assists a game. He's suddenly running a 4-on-3. Now, it's not the same 4-on-3 that used to have Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant as a part of it, but it's a 4-on-3 in the middle of the floor, and he's a master at it.
Yep. David Locke joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So with that said, who do you want to see in the first round?
Do you think Oklahoma City or Houston's available?
Well, hopefully not Minnesota, but
right. I didn't say Minnesota. Yeah. I think we'd get a playoff. I mean, here's the thing that's so tricky about this. Whomever, this is crazy. If we're the one seed or the two seed, but if we're the one seed, whomever we play in the playoffs is going to have a significant playoff experience advantage on us, unless Memphis does something crazy. So, my biggest concern is I don't know that our guys know how to beat Steph Curry and Draymond Green in a series yet. Done that. Steph Curry and Draymond Green, what do you think it would be like to try to knock – we go up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors. What do you think it's going to be like to try to knock Draymond Green out? And, do our guys know how to do that yet?
The finish.
Right? And so imagine if you get the Lakers in the first round. And I frankly have a little bit more respect for Steph Curry and Draymond Green in this category than Anthony Davis, but nobody do I have more respect for than LeBron in this category, unless he's just not right. But my biggest concern on this thing is, it's crazy because I think it's lining up really nicely for the Jazz, but I'm not sure we can get out of the first round. But if we get out of the first round, then suddenly, other than Kawhi Leonard, the first round feels more daunting to me trying to, if you're in a series and who are the guys that you think if you're in a series and you have to beat them, you've got to beat them, right? You're not just winning a game. You have to beat them. Who are the guys that are going to be the most difficult to do that to? Steph and Draymond are number one on my list. LeBron's number two on my list. Who's after that?
Maybe Kawhi.
Kawhi, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And no one's really sure about his leadership, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's a big drop from 2 to 3.
Uh-huh. Huge drop. And then the next one's Jokic probably deserves credit. What he did to us last year deserves a lot of credit. What he did to the Clippers last year, maybe he should be 3 and Kawhi should be 4 for that reason.
Yeah.
And then probably Luka just because he's unbelievable. Oh, my gosh, I found a number on Luka yesterday. Of the top 10 pick and roll combinations in the NBA, he's the ball handler in 4 of them.
Oh, jeez.
it's so irrelevant who's running the pick and roll with him. He's just that great. Right? So, okay. So there, and I'm sure we've, and we haven't talked about, now Chris Paul's playoff history tells me the opposite. Chris Paul's playoff history tells me you might not have to beat him. Yeah. He might take care of himself.
Yeah. It's just I was on with a buddy of mine over who's in the Denver market, and he's like, we're like, all right, well, and at that point it was looking, you had the Lakers who were at the 6 at that point. They've dropped down, but we were just bemoaning the fact that the Jazz might get the Golden State Warriors in the first round, and Denver would get the Lakers, and you'd have everybody in the NBA and every TV market rooting against those individual teams against Steph Curry and LeBron James. And Adam Silver somewhere has got to be smiling at the thought that his play-in game might feature Golden State and the Lakers. And then those two teams, as your 7 and your 8 with an opportunity to move on. I mean, it's setting up nicely for the NBA overall.
All right. I don't know how they're going to do play-in, if they're going to do Eastern Conference TV one night and Western Conference the next, or I would assume they're going to do an Eastern Conference matchup and a Western Conference matchup for TV. And so, let's just say they decided to do 7-8 against each other the first night, giving those teams an advantage. I think they might do 7-8, 7-8, because you give those teams an advantage, then they're in the playoffs, and it's also an advantage to the 2 seed. They have more time to prep, so I'm guessing the league would probably want that. There is a chance that the play-in night could be Boston Celtics, most storied franchise in the East, against LaMelo Ball, probably one of the big draws in the league, right? And on the other side could be Warriors-Lakers. It will be the highest-rated TV night in the history of the NBA that's not an NBA Finals.
No doubt. David, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, that's nice of you to say that, whether it's true or not. I had one other quick note for you. Now I can't remember what it was.
Was it Donovan talking against the play-in tournament?
I didn't hear Donovan, and nor could I see the game when Donovan was on.
Yeah, he was on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, well, I'm aware, because I lost half my screen. I was calling the game off when he was on, and that was really hard. So I'm perfectly aware that Donovan was off TV last night.
Oh.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
It was not great. I mean, I'm not blaming anyone at all. It's the world we live in, but I was like, What did he have to say? Anything interesting?
Well, he said he's not a fan of the playing game because every, you know, your three through six know who they're going to play and will have a week to prepare, and they won't have that kind of luxury to prepare during that week off while they're waiting on who their opponent's going to be.
That is true. I believe Alex Jensen has the first scout and has to prepare four teams as the one seed.
Yeah.
Not
so
great.
That's it. He, you know, we've heard people on the 7, 8, 9, 10 range complain. That's the first time I've heard somebody in the 1-2 range complain about how this whole thing could play out. But
that's an interesting it's also an interesting tip of the hat to the the faith Donovan has in his coaching staff to get him ready.
All right. Well, David, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, David.
All right. See you guys.
David Locke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed coming up next.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, how hard is it for these great athletes to come back from injury and go straight into the playoffs, which might be the case with Donovan?
I don't know what his timetable is, but if it means he might have to miss a playoff game to get all the way back, you make sure that he's all the way back. I mean, we just saw with LeBron, who had a nasty ankle sprain of his own, he probably came back too soon, and it wound up costing him a week, and that's the last thing you need if you're the Jazz. You've got to be very patient with Donovan Mitchell. And look, this is the benefit of being the number one seed. Presumably, you're going to get an opportunity to play some somebody you should be able to handle without Donovan Mitchell for a game or maybe two.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News. Spanning the globe. Try to find something that hopefully you find somewhat amusing. Or horrifying. It can go either way on this.
Typically, it's a combination of both. Okay, options today, Scotty. Would you like to hear about
Please let it be Yul Brynner.
No, it's not Yul Brynner. And it's Yul Brynner. Would you like to hear about a bomb-sniffing dog that had there was some mistaken identity with a burrito, or
I think that's pretty much the story, right?
Or the new eating craze that's going crazy with kids right now that's not Tide Pods but possibly is dangerous.
Let's go to the drug dog.
You want to?
You and I are about to eat some tacos. I don't want to hear about detergent eating teenagers.
Okay, so apparently Disneyland has a drug dog that is notorious. I'm sorry, a bomb-sniffing dog that's notorious. His name is Pluto.
Goofy?
Pluto.
Oh, Pluto. Okay.
Pluto, yeah. And this dog, it has been impeccable in his sniffing ability. Well, somebody left a backpack just outside of, and you've been to Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
You know that Space Mountain area that's kind of clogs in on Fantasyland?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so it was left in that bench area right by Space Mountain. For anybody that's been to Disneyland, you probably remember that the kind of narrow corridor.
Yep.
Well, they left it. And any bag that is left in the open, I think it's for more than like 18 or 20 some odd minutes, Disneyland will actually identify it, mark it, and then they watch it. And if it sits unattended, then they will bring the bomb-sniffing dog over to smell it, just to see, is this a possible bomb?
Okay. It's not a kid in a costume. It's an actual dog.
It's an actual dog.
I'd like to see that big old Pluto just.
No, they don't march a dude in a Pluto costume. Come here, boy. Come here, good boy. Come sniff this
Who's
bag.
Who's a good boy?
Okay. So this reliable dog comes over, and he sniffs the bag, and he sits and identifies this as a bomb. So instantly, they clear the whole fantasy land out. Everybody's off the coasters, and it's, you know, they're trying as calm as they can to get this out. Well, they unzip the bag, and they find that it was a half-eaten carne asada burrito, and the dog just was hungry.
Oh, Pluto, no.
Pluto thought it was a bomb. No, Pluto, he knew it was in there.
He knew it was food.
He wanted to get everybody away from it. And in his mind, he's like, I'm just going to have myself a quiet, good meal.
I know how to get everybody out of the room. Let's all pretend it's a bomb.
Obviously, they disciplined him. They didn't give him a good boy, an attaboy, and the carne asada burrito.
Is Pluto getting retired?
I don't know. Yeah, they might have to look at it. Like, if he's noticing, hey, everybody took off, and it's just me and this burrito here. This is kind of working in my favor. He's going to start sitting on everything. But I thought that was a funny story. And I could also see everybody, like, crowding out of Fantasyland. That is a packed area. And typically, that's most the little kids because it's kind of a dorky little area, except for Space Mountain's fun.
Space Mountain's all right.
I like it when the lights are off. But when it breaks down, I told you, I was on Space Mountain when it broke down. And it's a garbage little indoor coaster.
Yeah, somebody, a buddy of mine who goes to Disneyland all the time said, took a video of what it was like. He wrote it with the lights on.
Yes.
And it just.
It's like, lame.
This isn't fun at all.
No. It's really just a small coaster crammed in. But, you know, when they're throwing the galaxies at you and all the lights are flashing, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And they just opened it up, too. And they got a bomb situation.
Yeah, or just a hungry dog. A half-eaten carne asada burrito left in a backpack. Which, by the way, who eats half of a carne asada burrito?
And then just leaves it in a backpack for 20 minutes?
Be a man.
Finish your burrito.
Finish your burrito. And if your kid doesn't finish it, be a man and finish it for your kid.
Finish it for him.
Millennials.
I was going to say maybe he gets retired and replaced by Goofy. But is Goofy a dog? What is Goofy?
Goofy's a moose, I think.
I think Goofy's a cat.
It's Goofy's a moose, right?
Goofy's not a moose.
I think Goofy's a cat.
I thought Goofy was a cow. Actually.
Goofy's definitely not a cat.
Are you kidding me?
Goofy's a moose, guys.
Hold on.
Pluto's a dog.
What is Goofy?
Goofy's a moose, bud.
Goofy is a tall, anthropomorphic dog who typically wears a turtleneck vest pants. He's a dog. What is
Well, his nemesis, Pete.
Anthropomorphic.
Pete's a cat.
Actually, I think anthropomorphic is a Great Dane.
Well, we're going to Google anthropomorphic now. I think
that's the breed of a Great Dane. Or maybe that's maybe it's something a little bit more complex.
Oh, it's a animal that has human characteristics.
Oh, yeah,
so
Great
Pluto,
Dane.
Pluto would not be anthropomorphic, but Goofy is. So Goofy is a dog. So you can retire Pluto and bring in Goofy.
All right. Well,
I don't know if you want a drug-sniffing or a bomb-sniffing dog named Goofy, though.
No, but he'd probably do a better job than Pluto.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm trying to find some way to transition to this, Tim, and I just can't do it.
Well, I guess I had the airport the other day, and some dude left his bag sitting there to go to the bathroom. Man, you want to see about a whole bunch of cops come in? Oh, my poor guy.
Oh, did that really happen?
Oh, it was legit. Like, they were not happy.
They brought in the squad.
It got ugly.
So he just left it outside the bathroom?
He just wanted to go to the bathroom, and he came back and says, what, I can't leave it to go to the bathroom? Some old guy had never flown before, obviously.
Wow.
Oh, no.
It was ugly. My whole flight got almost shut down because of it.
They didn't slam him against the wall or anything.
No, they were good about it.
TSA just roughing up this old dude. Finally, yeah. TSA actually doing something for once.
Here we'll transition it. That'll happen at the airport, but not here at the office. How's that?
You guys are always busy.
There you go. How about
not
that?
Messing around.
No TSA
doing
agents
anything.
Here.
You know how busy you guys are. It took you a year to do your own exterior.
It took us a year. Over a year. It took us a minute. No, but look, we're here. We're finally done. We're excited. We got some people here. We got the food trucks here, the Jazz swag, the RGS swag, some good old Schmidt's Bakery food over there. So come over, come have a bite to eat, and come say hi.
I do want to say it's really nice just looking at the siding, and you've got so many different options and selections and stuff that people can come out and see it sampled on the side of buildings.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we did is we have our showroom basically on the outside of our building. So we got a lot of warehouse, about 10,000 square feet of warehouse space and a ton of product on the outside. And then all our office, we have another 7,000-8,000 square feet of office space that is on the outside, and then our inside showroom on top of that. So we've got a lot of space here, a lot of products to display and show, and we're here to just let the homeowners know and what's available.
What's your number one trend right now?
Well, the number one trend is just James Hardie siding, standard Hardie siding. However, this new wood tone look is becoming very popular because you get the look of cedar without the maintenance of cedar, right? Because everyone wants wood siding. That's really what everybody wants, but no one wants to maintain it.
You know, the interesting thing, too, is that the wood appearance seems like it would hold up a little bit more in terms of style, because it seems like you go through a neighborhood, you're like, that's around 95, 96. That's around early 2000s. That seems a little bit more
colors.
That seems a little bit more timeless.
It is. And the whole idea is that everything looks a little bit different, a little bit better. And so the whole idea is the colors. Right now, the trend's black and white. I mean, it's all monochromatic right now. That's it. It's what everybody wants. But things like that are timeless.
Yeah.
And so it's an advantage of doing that. The other nice thing about Hardie is, say we do it today and you don't like it 5 years from now, you can throw some paint on it.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter.
You know what I love, Tim? I brought you kind of an example of what I'm picturing for this cabin that we're building out behind our house. It's just kind of an outbuilding. And I showed you, and you said, oh, yeah, we'll figure this out. We'll price point it. We'll figure out what the best product is. And, I just brought a sample size of what I was looking at, and you instantly jumped on it, so we'll figure this out.
Yeah, that's what we want to do. I mean, for the most part, we know what's kind of the trend is and what's the best, the biggest, and the products in the market. But if we don't, like you showed me something I've never seen, well, we're going to do the research, we're going to figure it out, and we're going to make it happen. So, you know, that's what we do. And if we can make it work, we want to make it work. If not, you know, it is what it is, but we want to help out.
Let's make it happen. Come on by, hang out with us. We're live here at RGS. And again, we've got great food. Look at these tacos, Hans.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Smoked taco. I've never heard of the food truck before. The food truck we found,
that's supposedly
is really
cheese.
Good.
You may want to get in on that one.
How about those churro fries? Those look pretty good too, right?
Those tacos look really
those
good.
Those are churro fries.
Churro fries.
Those churro fries are with a big
and they're healthy too.
Oh, yeah.
Caramel and whipped cream.
No carbs, no sugar.
No, gluten-free.
It's gluten-free too, everything.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Protein-based, huh?
Absolutely. It's all good. Just all healthy for you, I promise.
How they do these things nowadays.
That's crazy, huh?
Who cares?
Makes it a lot funner to eat.
4235 Farm Road here in West Jordan. It's pretty easy to find. All you need to do is just Google in RGS Exteriors, hit your maps, and it'll bring you right here. It's just off Bangor. Come by, hang out with us. RGS Exteriors, 4235 Farm Road here in West Jordan. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.